asking yourself whether you're wrong is a really good thing. If you really feel strong conviction that you're doing the right thing, then keep going.
That ideology is shared by some of the world's most ambitious creators who flock to Northern California with a dream. They seek like-minded encouragement to move fast and break things, and even fake it until they make it. Those principles can come at a cost, always for investors, often for entrepreneurs and their employees, and sometimes for the public at large. And for one entrepreneur, once lauded the world's youngest self-made female billionaire, the cost could add up to years in federal prison.
This is Silicon Valley, a hub of innovation that's often coupled with sleight of hand. I'm Alexis Keenan, and this is Yahoo Finance Presents. Nearly $1 billion gone bust, swallowed by the opaque Silicon Valley biotech startup Theranos, whose founder Elizabeth Holmes faces years in prison for a pitch pushed to extremes.
I knew that I could do something that would be different than what everybody else is doing.
She said her technology would revolutionize healthcare, miniaturizing a suite of common blood tests down to a few drops. The technique would democratize diagnostics, driving down cost to make tests so affordable that consumers could access periodic snapshots of their personal health over time. It was a story that Holmes told with unwavering conviction.
If you watched a movie and you took one frame out of that movie, you said, okay, Elizabeth, tell me the story. I would never be able to tell you that story, but if you gave me a series of frames, I could begin to piece together a story.
The concept captivated investors and media and turned Holmes into a startup sensation. Though her stardust began to settle when the Wall Street Journal exposed frames of her story as technology overhyped. The reckoning fueled a barrage of scathing news reports, a New York Times bestseller, and a feature documentary, leaving Holmes accused of fraud, of peddling impossible science, and portrayed a vixen.
Her confident charm and even physical appearance were cited to explain why distinguished advisors and hopeful investors in a male-dominated field bought what she was selling. Yet not everyone is convinced that Holmes was just a persuasive pretty face, or that her methods to materialize her vision should be viewed in black and white.
This is going to sound a little strong, but to a certain degree, she's a victim, because she didn't know what she didn't know, and she relied on people who gave her bad advice or mismanaged it, I think.
Even for Theranos, I'm not 100% convinced that it is fraud, although that, I mean, we have lots of leads that many, many, many things were wrong.
The first crazy concept that we had that people said absolutely could not be done, especially when I tried to raise money for the first time to start the company, was wanting to change the way lab testing was done. If you're going to start a company, the first question is why, right? For me, it was, this is a change in the world that I want to see.
The change was never realized, at least not by Theranos. Instead, the company imploded under a raft of lawsuits, regulatory actions, and SEC fines, all targeting Holmes for promising more than she could prove. Yet holding Holmes to both criminal charges and such intense media scrutiny could ultimately be what makes her unique as a Silicon Valley entrepreneur and may overshadow her pioneering role in an emerging biotech field.
The biggest concern I've had with the media was immediately after Theranos started falling apart, was there was a rumble of people saying, well, this was such a bad idea, this could never happen. Or actually, really, I think Elizabeth's vision was phenomenal, right? And I share the same vision, and so I really resonate with that. I think it is a good idea, and it needs to be, it needs to happen.
It was all doable. I mean, that's the other thing. There wasn't any engineering problem that couldn't be resolved by the time I came in the company. There was refinements. I think with a different board, maybe with a different COO, with somebody to coach her and help develop her as a CEO and a spokesperson, I think a lot of this could have been avoided.
In a culture that handsomely rewards innovators while embracing this fake-it-till-you-make-it ethos, who deserves to shoulder the blame? Prosecutors say it's Holmes and her former boyfriend and Theranos COO Sonny Balwani for allegedly operating the once-hyped blood testing company as a criminal scheme that defrauded investors, doctors, and patients. Others, including one of Theranos' earliest critics, say the answer is not as clear and take into account a system known to conflate optimism with reality.
I suspect that there's many other companies that don't really have the ideas that they propose that they do that they have. They're still working on them. They haven't tested them out. They are probably over-optimistic, and maybe most of these ideas would fail. I don't think that Theranos is an exception in that regard.
If Theranos is no exception, how strongly will criminal accusations hold up? And where will jurors draw the line between an entrepreneur's push for disruption and fraudulent deception?
But I'm sure the courts are going to place a different standard on it than I do. But my standard is, if an entrepreneur makes a claim and you want to invest, it's your obligation to go validate all the claims she's made. She may have made exorbitant statements, but those could have all have been corroborated before the money was invested. And in fact, if somebody had done the work to try to corroborate them, they would have found out they're really exorbitant. They're wishful and they're futuristic. And they don't represent the present. If you invested based on those claims, you would have said, okay, that's fraud.
If Holmes' strategy was to temporarily fake it, how different were her tactics from her Silicon Valley peers? When did the alleged charade begin? Why did financial backers keep her company afloat for more than a decade? And what lessons should future investors learn? The answers lie in a tangle of conflicting symptoms that can give investors reason for confidence as well as caution in the traditions of seed capital rich Silicon Valley. Disruption often begins like this. An aspiring creator claims their vision for a new reality, then sets out to piece together the missing parts to their puzzle.
What we wanted to change was the fact that when you find out you're sick, you're already too sick in many cases to be able to really change the course of the disease. The way you change that is that you have to reinvent every element of the system, which means you have to reinvent the tests, you have to reinvent the devices, you have to reinvent the software, you have to reinvent the locations through which the testing is provided, the pricing. So this was not a short-term business plan.
And there's one place, perhaps more than anywhere else in the world, that fosters the rapid incarnation of these bold ideas.
This is the Valley of Dreams, right? It's a unique situation. There is no other place in the world where somebody with a big idea can come and have access to capital, have access to all of the corporate services you need to get it off the ground. So people come here with big dreams. And I think Elizabeth had a great big dream.
This region of resources, in its early days known as the Santa Clara Valley, was formed by generations of tech pioneers whose ideas were brought to life with the help of deep pockets.
Silicon Valley was just another little agricultural valley in California through the middle part of the 20th century. And the thing that changed it all was World War II and the Cold War. And the government did something that it hadn't done before. In a big way, it got into the research and development business, and particularly put an immense amount of money into research in electronics and computing.
It was decades before the blockbuster successes of Valley Tech icons Steve Jobs, Bill Hewlett, and David Packard, when the Valley's founding fathers put the federal government's money to use.
The startup that brought silicon into Silicon Valley was a short-lived operation called Shockley Semiconductor. And the person who founded it was William Shockley. He was a co-inventor of the transistor.
A veteran of telecom behemoth Bell Labs, Shockley realized the power of silicon to miniaturize transistors that by the mid-1950s helped power the world's first microchips.
And so the Valley gets more and more significant in the landscape of tech.
By 1957, Shockley's team founded its own startup, Fairchild Semiconductor. Instead of turning to the federal government, the group made a radical move and looked to the private market, securing funding courtesy of East Coast investment banker Arthur Rock.
Arthur Rock later becomes one of the most legendary venture capitalists in Silicon Valley history.
That same year, the microchip earned a reputation as indispensable as the Soviet Union launched its Sputnik satellite.
The first artificial Earth satellite.
Beating the U.S. into orbit.
This basically lights Washington, D.C.'s hair on fire. And all of this money starts getting invested in rockets and missiles and technologies to get things and people out into space and ultimately to the moon.
In shooting for the moon, the influence of Santa Clara Valley technology and the investment dollars it attracted were forever altered. The region had officially left behind its agricultural roots to become a tech and investment hub. A next generation would prove what silicon could do, not just for big business and government, but for the individual.
Who has all the computers? The establishment, the government, big corporations.
Key players to that independent movement were two Fairchild alums, Bob Noyce and Gordon Moore, who in the late 1960s founded Intel to build memory chips. They too tapped venture capitalist Arthur Rock, whose $2.5 million stake advanced the uniquely American concept of partnering wealthy investors with tech entrepreneurs. The concept would carry into the next millennia to prop up countless enterprising founders, including Elizabeth Holmes.
So once you have a computer on a chip, you can build a wooden box around it, and it's a desktop computer, and it's under your control. It's not under the university's control or the Pentagon's control. And look, it's Vietnam, it's Watergate. This is an anti-establishment moment in American culture.
That movement gave rise in the mid-1970s to computer enthusiasts Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs. With Noyce's help, Jobs and Wozniak secured funding for a first personal computer, the Apple, through investor Mike Markkula, and later through Sequoia Capital, that would evolve into one of the region's most profitable VCs.
The venture capital becomes an important glue between the generations, right? Who are the leading venture capitalists of today? They're people who were, that you know, had these massive exits in the 90s, who in turn were funded and mentored by people who had massive exits in the 80s and 70s.
These generational networks reinforce Silicon Valley's tightly knit circles and its backlash against corporate business as usual.
You can't have total corporate misbehavior in order to be successful, but at the same time, there's this encouragement and cultivation and tolerance of behavior that might get you kicked out of a traditional company. Silicon Valley has a strong sense of itself from the very beginning as not being like other companies. This is a different sort of business. We think different. We do things differently, and we have amazing results as a result.
Even investors have been known to play by their own rules.
Hi, everybody. Alexis Keenan here. Yahoo Finance wants to extend a huge thank you for watching our YouTube channel and to tell you that there's a lot more here that you can check out, including Yahoo Finance's very first documentary film, Valley of Hype. It's a deep dive into Silicon Valley's startup culture and the embattled biotech founder, Elizabeth Holmes. You can watch that right here starting August 30th. And don't forget to hit your subscribe button.